I figured he'd look. Where's my ministry of helps, people? Who needs a Bible besides Dusty? Anybody need a Bible? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Amen. Open the Bibles up to Acts chapter 2. Praise God. This is the last part of a three-part message. And I encourage you, if you've missed any of the parts, to go on the website at www.greatestfreedom.org. Go to the menu, click on sermons, and you can download any of the messages that are, they're all recorded on the website. There's no charge there. It's to bless the body and bless people around the world. We have people listen to us all around the world. Amen? Praise God. So we thank God for His Word. His work is quick and it's powerful, and His Word is going to accomplish something in every heart and every life of each and every one that's gathered here today. Amen? I want to set a little foundation again as I'm continuing in this this message out of Acts chapter 2. We're looking at what a move of God looks like, what we should be expecting when we gather together in the house of God. You know, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, it takes place after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is giving his apostles and disciples, he's giving them final instructions. He's getting ready to hand off the ministry to the Holy Spirit. He's instructing his disciples to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they're endued with power. And what this power was for, he said, You shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. We find that this was coming to spread the gospel. All of a sudden, we find that in the midst of this, Jesus has ascended to heaven, and the angel said to his disciples, "Why you stand here gazing in heaven? The same manner he left is the same manner he'll return." And there at the end of chapter 1, they also appointed the 12th disciple, Matthias, because Judas had betrayed him. So now the day of Pentecost is fully come. And the day of Pentecost is the celebration of weeks, the Feast of Weeks. It's 7 weeks. And it was a celebration of the commemoration of the law, the commencement of the law. And we recognize that the law wasn't abolished in Christ Jesus, it was fulfilled. The Old Testament was a foreshadow of what was coming. So the first we looked at is when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. In other words, they were together in singleness of mind. We spoke a message about what the church is to look like. We talked about the impartation, that God wants to impart something to us every time that we gather together in the house of God. We talked about the confrontation. Immediately, they were faced with doubters and mockers, and you're going to have doubters and mockers when you're out sharing the gospel or even in the house of God. Sometimes people may not understand what takes place, and when they do not understand what takes place, most of the time that causes them to mock or to doubt, okay? And most of it is because they really don't understand. But what happened in the midst of this confrontation is Peter enlightened them on the word. He said, "This is what was spoken about by the prophet Joel." He said, "In the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy." And that's what was taking place on the day of Pentecost. There was 120 that were speaking under the inspiration of God. And as they were speaking under the inspiration of God, they were exalting the name of Jesus. They took them to the gospel. They presented the gospel. They said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." There was those that received. They that received the word were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in a day. And in other words, whatever said, if you don't receive, it doesn't have any effect. You got to take it in. And then they continued together. They continued steadfastly together in the temple, in fellowship and breaking of bread. And they went from house to house, sharing their meat in singleness of heart. In other words, they stayed in one accord. What the adversary wants to do so much is to divide. That's his plan. A house divided cannot stand. The Bible says, how can we walk together? How can two walk together unless they agree? So what the adversary does so many times is he tries to get us out of unity. He tries to get us in discord. So even in this move of God, the most important thing that I saw and the most powerful thing I saw is they stayed in unity. They stayed in one accord. They stayed in one mind. Amen? Because the love of God was just filled in their hearts and lives. And all of a sudden, there was love coming out. For whatsoever a man soweth, that's who he also reap. If love is sown in, we need to give love out. You know, when we sang that song, spread wide in the arms of Christ, the love that covers sin. No greater love have I ever known that he would consider me his friend. Lord, capture my heart again. You know, when I think of that song, I think of that, how the sin in my life had separated me from God. And while I was yet in my sin, Christ died for me and had a plan for my life and your life. And it was all through love. Amen? So every time that I get to a place where I get wandering off, I have to return back to the cross of Calvary. At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Amen. So the first thing we saw was, what does church look like? And those were the seven things. And then we spoke on our second message about the breath from heaven. The Bible says in verse 2, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like as a mighty rushing wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And it filled the house where I was sitting. And it appeared unto them clothed in tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And what we talked about last week was the seven symbols of the Holy Spirit that's represented in the body, in the Bible. The seven symbols, the wind, the fire, the dove, the wine, the rain, the river, and the oil. But today, with the help of the Lord, I want to focus on verse number 4 today of Acts chapter 2. And it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, when I was looking at this is probably one of the scriptures that gets taken out of context so many times. This was a miracle of God. All of a sudden, the Bible says they were filled with the Spirit and began to speak other tongues. That word tongues is in the plural. It comes from the Greek word glossa. And that word means dialects. They had a forked tongue. I remember I used to watch, I'll give away my age. There used to be a TV show. It was The Lone Ranger. And Lone Ranger had an Indian friend. His name was Tonto. And Tonto said, well, they would speak with a forked tongue. In other words, their tongue was split. They were, that some of the white men weren't speaking the truth. And this tongue that was divided wasn't a tongue that was not speaking the truth. What was happening, they were speaking an unlearned language that the hearer understood. And in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, 9, 13, verse 27, there's another form of the word tongue, and it's in the singular, an unknown tongue. It comes from the Greek word heterai glossa, which means unknown to the speaker and unknown to the hearer, which needs an interpreter. Now, and also, there's a language of filled with the Holy Ghost, that I speak in tongues when I pray. And privately, Jude tells us to build up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. All right? But I want you to understand with me today, on the day of Pentecost, what was taking place, there was a mystery that was being unveiled. The mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. All of a sudden, there was something that was taking place that nobody, they weren't mocking them and doubting them because they were speaking a language they didn't understand, or they were just slammering in tongues. They were speaking something that just blew their mind. You're telling me I don't have to sacrifice? You tell me I don't have to get? You telling me my sins can be removed as far as the east is from the west? Never remember? You telling me that God loves me so much that he did that for me? You telling me that that was God? The one that I crucified was God? All of a sudden there's a revelation that comes. There's an unveiling that takes place. Amen? And all of a sudden then the church was formed on this day. But the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And today, the title of this morning's message with the hope, help of the Lord is Filled to Spill. And I just like making things just about as simple as can be. You know, the Lord told me one time, he says, why do they always try to complicate something I made so simple? So there's three simple points I want to bring today, and I like rhyming with words. Amen? If everybody knows me, you know that I'm going to either have a word that has the same letter or I'm going to have the same word that rhymes. They were filled, they were stilled, and they spilled. All right? That's the three points I'm going to share. They were filled, they were stilled, and they spilled. Hey, let's lift our word together and make a declaration in the house of God today. Hallelujah. You with me? Amen. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Your servant is listening. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Lord Jesus, for your word, and we're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do today. So, Father God, I pray as your word goes forth that as you have said, it will not return void. Father God, I thank you for every heart and every life that's gathered here today. I thank you that for revelation. I thank you for understanding. I thank you for your love, Lord Jesus, that surmounts every bit of our understanding. And Lord, I pray this morning, Father God, that you just get me out of your way. Speak through this vessel, Father God. May the word come forth from you and not from me. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and the honor and the praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So we find the day of Pentecost has finally come. You know, they've been gathered, they've been waiting, and all of a sudden they were all filled. And again, if you have your Bible and it's your Bible, and even if it's not your Bible, and Acts 2:4, underline the word all. I think it's so important for us always to understand that it included everybody. God's all-inclusive. He doesn't leave anybody out. In other words, today God has something for everyone in the house. Now, does that mean that every word that's spoken is for you? Not necessarily. But somewhere along the line, God's going to give you a nugget. And when you get a nugget, you take it and you put it in and you deposit it. And as you deposit nuggets in your life, one day you'll look and you'll open up and there'll be an abundance of nuggets in your life. And then they become life. Amen? All of a sudden, so you get a little here and a little there and a little here and a little there. Amen? So as the Lord's speaking today, he wants to get something in every heart and life of everyone that's gathered here today. Amen? Including me. Amen? Amen? He's going to talk to me today too. I'll listen to the message and I'll hear something he had to say to me. He'll use my mouth to speak it, and I won't get it until I listen to it. Right? And I listen to every message because I know he wants to speak to me too. Somewhere along the line, he's going to say something. Amen. So, hey, I've got two ears and just one mouth. I'm going to keep my ears open. Hallelujah. Praise God. But the first thing I see is they were all filled. They were filled with the gift of grace. Gift of grace. Grace comes from the Greek word charis. It's spelled C-H-A-R-I-S. And it means a divine influence. Unmerited favor. Divine influence. Just as the day when you and I were saved by his grace, by his charis, it was a divine influence of his love that came in upon our hearts. And I know in this day of Pentecost, God is love. That means the Father is love, the Son is love, the Holy Spirit is love. So what came in this room was love. Love came in this room and filled everybody that was in the room with love. Such love, such wondrous love, that God would love a sinner such as I. Such wondrous love like that. Amen. What?
Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this.
Hallelujah. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, and we use this scripture a lot for the salvation message, and in Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace, for by charis, for by the divine influence, by divine favor, by his divine influence of love. But for by grace are you saved through faith. Faith comes from the Greek word pistis, which means believing, reliance, trusting. By faith, it's that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So in the same way, on the day of Pentecost, there's 120 that are gathered there. They're gathered together in their one accord. They're waiting on the promise of the Father. And we know that all the promises of God in him are what?
Yes.
Yes and amen. Jesus promised he would come, so they're waiting there. And all of a sudden, there's a sound from heaven. The wind fills the room. They're all filled with the gift of grace. They're all filled with the divine influence of grace that came in their hearts and lives. You know, Paul illustrates this for you and I in Romans chapter 5. He says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified or being made innocent. How many know that everyone in the room was guilty? In other words, every last one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone in the room was guilty. But through Christ, it says, therefore being justified or being made innocent by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. But the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given us. In other words, just as it was on the day of Pentecost, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and I. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. In other words, shall make you alive. Make you alive in who? Alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. So all of a sudden, this gift of grace, this gift of charis, this gift of divine influence, this gift of love had come and filled everybody that was in the room. Amen. Amen. You fill a room with a bunch of people full of love, and things are going to happen. And don't get nasty. The love wasn't that kind of love. That's world love. That wasn't godly love. That wasn't agape love. Amen. Love is unconditional love. They weren't looking what was different amongst one another. They were seeing everybody through Christ's eyes. And I think if you and I would just begin to see people through Christ's eyes, we'll look at them in a different way. I don't care how far they're gone. There's nobody that's too far gone for my God. Amen. Hey, you know, somebody might have gave a report on me that said I would never be saved. Hallelujah. But they didn't know what God was going to do, right? They may have never thought you would ever be saved, but they didn't know what God was going to do. Look out. We serve a great and big God. He can do exceedingly above what we ever expected or even thought he could do. Amen. You know, and we look at this divine influence of grace that filled their hearts and lives. It wasn't only the grace that filled them, but grace is what gives us the right to go right to the presence of God. Amen. You know, when there was a time when I didn't have a full relationship with the Lord, and I was always looking for someone else to help me get to Jesus. Until the Lord gave me the revelation, he gave me the helper already. Amen. That each and every one of us, if we're a child of God, that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the veil has been torn from top to bottom, we have the right to go right into the very presence of God. Amen. Amen. Those people that were baptized on the day of Pentecost don't have anything more than what you have. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have the same spirit they had. There isn't a different spirit. Amen. There's one Holy Ghost. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I know without the Holy Ghost, I couldn't do it. I know many times I tried to walk this walk out and I couldn't do it because I was trying to do it in self. I was trying to pick up Jesus along the way. But when I got help from the helper, hallelujah, he's the one that strengthens me. He's the one that encourages me. He's the one that takes me right to the throne of God. You know, matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, we're talking about the gift of grace again. The gift of charis. The word it says in verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, the throne of divine influence, the throne of favor, that we may obtain mercy and the grace, the charis, the divine influence to help us in time of need. Amen. That doesn't mean that just because I'm a child of God, that doesn't mean because I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, that doesn't mean I ain't going to go through some stuff. But God says I ain't going to go through it alone. He says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He'll be as close as the call of his name. Amen. And you don't, when you call on God, you don't get a busy signal. You don't get a party line. You've got a direct connect to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you've got a direct connect to the Holy Ghost. The divine influence of grace that's on your heart and your life. Hello? Hello, anybody here? Y'all get excited, I'll get excited. Amen. You know what's wonderful about it all? I didn't deserve any of it. Hello? Amen. You didn't deserve any of it. Amen. It's divine influence of God on your hearts and lives. Amen. Amen. You know, that's why we can take that Jeremiah 33:3. It says, hey, when you call on him, he'll answer you. He always answers. And he'll show you great and mighty things that you didn't know. Amen. Amen. You know, the problem is, what happens so many times, we'll call Bill, we'll call John, we'll call Judy, we'll call Frank, and after we talk to all of them, we'll call God. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen. Amen. Let's don't get the cart in front of the horse. I don't know much about farming, but I can imagine taking a horse in a carriage and putting the horse behind the carriage and asking the horse to push the cart. Huh? Doesn't work? Somebody like Quentin probably tried it. Praise God. In other words, God wants us to realize and recognize who we are. You know, when Jesus said in Luke 11:13, he said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him, or the Holy Spirit, the hagios pneuma, the Spirit of God, the divine influence that comes in your heart and your life. Man. See, it's good to be in the house of God. You know, I use this scripture a lot because I use this in James 1:17 just so we have revelation and understanding. These 120 people are gathered together in an upper room. They're waiting for the promise of the Father as Jesus has given instructions. The Holy Spirit comes in, fills everybody that's sitting, but it's to recognize that James 1:17 says, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, I'm not the gift giver. You're not the gift giver. He is the gift giver. Amen? And you know something about the gifts of God? He isn't selfish. He wants to give you and I more and more and more and more. Amen? The problem is he expects us to use the gifts he gives us. And so many times we're looking for God to give us more gifts and we're not doing anything with the gifts he gave us. You can either say amen or oh me, right? What other one? If the shoe doesn't fit, take it off and hand it to your neighbor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, God wants you and I to understand something. I want you to get something. If you get nothing else today, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in that room, there was so much love in that room they could hardly stand it. Have you ever felt the love of God? I got touched one time in my life. I've been touched many times, but I got touched one time in my life by the love of God. And his love had permeated me so much, my body couldn't handle the glory that was filled my body. I thought I was going to explode. I thought my everything in my body was going to explode. There was so much joy and love that filled my heart. I mean, it was just amazing. And it was just for a moment. I couldn't imagine having to say 5 minutes of that. Can you imagine? You know, we talk about love. You know, and we have a understanding of love, and most of our understanding of love is in the worldly manner, because it's taught so much and spoken of so much. But what came into this room was pure love, unadulterated love. So no matter, I can't even imagine that. I don't have it. I'm seeking to have that type of love like God has, but I don't have it yet. I haven't arrived. But that pure love of God, you know, that love that doesn't condemn me, that loves me in spite of all of my weaknesses, and loves me in spite of all of my shortcomings, that love.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So he said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the second thing that I saw there is they were not only filled with the Spirit of grace, with the gift of grace, they were stilled by the gift of comfort. In other words, come on now, you have to imagine what's taking place. You know, their comforter, Jesus. Jesus had walked with these guys for 3.5 years. He was beside them, and all of a sudden Jesus said, well, hey, I'm going to give you another one. Believe me, trust me, there's another one coming. And, you know, and all of a sudden, as this love comes in the room, all of a sudden I believe their hearts were stilled. Have you ever been asking God for something and waiting on it, and then it comes? I don't know about you, but with me, it always comes at 11:59 at the midnight hour. But he always comes. You know, one of the things I saw when I was looking at the psalmist writes in Psalms 46:10. 46:10, he says, be still and know that I am God. Amen. There was something that was taking place in this, in the atmosphere, you know, because you're going to see what's going to happen afterwards. So something spectacular is taking place. And all of a sudden, the promise of Jesus of John 14:26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and he'll bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Then he says also, he says, and my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, all of a sudden, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Parakletos, the Comforter is coming in. And some ladies made us some nice comforters. They're things that warm you. They quilts or whatever, and they make you warm and fuzzy. And the comfort of the Holy Ghost had came into the room, and I believe that everyone that was gathered there, they were just warm and fuzzy. There is that warm and fuzzy feeling. Amen? All of a sudden, they weren't disturbed anymore. All of a sudden, there was a peace that came upon them because the Comforter had come in. The gift of comfort had come in and settled within them. You know, and the beloved John writes in 1 John 2:27, he says, but the anointing... The anointing or the charisma, which is a divine influence and impartation, it speaks of the Spirit also, that the anointing, the Spirit, but the Spirit which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things in his truth, it is not a lie, and even as it taught you, you shall abide in him. In other words, this spirit of comfort had also came, the gift of comfort had come and settled within them. In other words, they were at peace. You know, there's something about the spirit of peace. See, he said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, or neither let it be afraid. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and of a sound mind through the Spirit of God. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and a sound mind. Amen? So when these things in life come and try to steal our joy and try to steal our peace, we have been sealed with the Comforter of God. We have the gift of comfort within you and I. And, you know, matter of fact, in John... chapter 16, now we'll go to chapter 14 of John, Jesus' word. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. All of a sudden, the Spirit of truth has entered them, the Spirit of comfort. You know, he says, not only is he going to be in them, but he's going to abide with them. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, if two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be found in the midst. Not only is the Spirit of God within us, but every time we gather, he comes in and inhabits the praises and worship of his people. When we gather together, the Holy Spirit's in this place. Amen. Amen. The Spirit's moving up and down. He ministers to hearts and lives. Amen. God's doing the work. We don't do anything but share his love, share his word. He's the one that does it. I've learned something early. No, matter of fact, it took me longer than I should have, but I learned something, that I can't change anybody. Man, I was wearing myself out. Oh, my goodness. I was wearing myself out. I go, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, well, who made you God? Hello? He says to me, he said, son, I had enough trouble just changing you. Hello? Praise God. You know, we're all a work in progress, right? Amen. Praise God. But that comfort, all of a sudden, that gift of comfort that came in, we had the divine influence of God's love on their hearts, and all of a sudden, this love comforted them. It brought them peace. Let me tell you something. If they weren't walking in peace, they wouldn't have stood up in the midst of people and started sharing the mystery of the gospel. All right? They had peace in the inside. And their peace was no matter what happens. If God said he'd do this and he did this, he'll do everything else he said he'd do too. Amen? You know, and for you and I, if faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and his word has come true in our hearts and lives, if he did that, what makes us think he won't do that? Amen? You know, just as Jeff and Diane stood up and shared a testimony of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love and God's answering prayers this morning, that God hears us and he sees everything that we're going through. There's nothing that's escaped his notice. Come on now. Amen? Amen? He knows that we go through some things. And he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In other words, he said, I've already taken care of it. And the cross of Calvary, when I said it is finished, it was done. Amen? I'm walking in the finished work, not in the halfway done work. That's already been complete. There is nothing that has to be done for the Lord to return. He can return any moment in a twinkling of an eye. Amen? The trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall raise, and those that are alive shall be called up to meet the Lord, and the heir to ever be with the Lord. Amen. So we know that we're in the last days. Hey, you can look at our nation right now. You can see we're in the last days. You know something I noticed this year is man, what a weather pattern we had. Amen. The Bible says you won't even be able to tell the changes of seasons. Hello? Hello? You know, I get up and run in the mornings. I made a habit to go running. And I get up early every morning. I spend a couple hours with the Lord, and then I go out and talk to him when I run. Mostly, I don't talk a whole lot, don't have breath. He talks to me. But I've noticed something. I never noticed it this year. Maybe you've noticed it. But when I get up and I go out, the temperature is like, say it's at 70. Then I go out and it drops to 65. After the day has already started, the temperature goes down. It's done it every day this year. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Is that what it always did? I don't know. I've never paid attention to it before.
When the sun rises first in the morning, you always get colder.
Oh. News to me. I give it to... Oh.
Because the coldest part of the day is as soon as the sun comes up. If you get through the coldest part of the day, you'll be all right the rest of the day.
That's why I don't know about it, because I don't want nothing.
And it is. It always is.
Amen. Amen. That's news to me. I'm glad to know that now. Besides that, the weather has been really weird this summer. This has been the coolest summer, the rainiest summer, you know. I mean, here we are in July, and it's 70 degrees out. That isn't the Shenandoah Valley. So I got off somewhere. I got to get back on track. I got on a river trail. I was getting ready to start talking about honey. Let's talk about honey. Amen. How many hunters we have in the room? How many fishers we have in the room? How many fishers we have in the room? How many fishers we have in the room? I mean, everyone in the room ought to be fishers because Jesus made us fishers of men. All right? Amen? You know, I went to study I went to study evangelism down in Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church with D. James Kennedy, Evangelism Explosion. And I don't eat fish. I don't like fish. And he made a statement that just really wrung my heart about being a soul winner. He said, you know, I can go, the Lord says me to go fishing, and I can catch a 200-pound fish. God cleans it up, and I don't have to eat it. Amen. God cleans them up. We don't have to eat them. Hallelujah. In other words, we're not to devour the babes in Christ. Amen. We're not to eat the people. We're to show them the love of God. But the gift of comfort, I got off somewhere, and Lord, forgive me. Where did I go off there? What did that have to do with anything, Lord? Excuse me, let me go back to the altar and repent. I'll be right back. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, that's where we were. We talk about the gift of comfort. That the peace of God came in the room. And Paul tells you and I in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 2 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Amen. Amen. In other words, the comfort that they receive and the comfort that we receive, the gift of comfort, is to be a comfort to others. Amen. When they're in times of trouble. You know, when we talk about our tests in life become our testimony, sometimes when we go through something and somebody's going through a storm and somebody's been through a similar storm, how their testimony, how God saw them through and answered, could be a comfort to the hearers. And just be careful that we watch the words, I know what you're going through, because none of us really know what anybody's going through, because none of us are them. And we all handle things different ways. But may I share with you how God helped me through a similar storm that you're going through. Amen. In other words, he came in and comforted me in this situation. Amen. And don't try to push the comfort on them, because you're not the comforter. He is. Amen. He is the one that's the comforter. But the comforter, whom is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comforted by God. He's the comforter. He's the one that's going to bring that warm and fuzzy feeling in. Amen. You know, when I think about this, and I think about that he filled everyone that was in the room with the gift of grace. He stilled them with the gift of comfort, and he spilled them with the gift of utterance. In other words, they couldn't hold in the deposit. John 7 came to pass. Out of their belly started flowing rivers of living water. Water bringing life. You all right?
Well, I'm all right. I don't know if they are, but I am. Mm.
Can I pray for deliverance? Hallelujah. Yeah, you're probably praying, Lord, deliver me from this pastor today. That's all right. God hears and he listens. You call on him and he hears you and he answers you. You know, when I was thinking about the gift of utterance and the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and to begin to speak in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, they were speaking about the mysteries of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. See, that love that was impermeated to him started flowing out. the good news of the gospel started coming out to a lost and dying world. And that's when all of a sudden there's something spectacular that happens, and there's 3,000 people that are added to the church in one day. Amen? You know, because it's that love. And Jesus, God's word says in Revelation 22:17, the word of God says, "And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." This water of life is what Jesus spoke about in John chapter 4. Hallelujah. John chapter 4. In verse 13, it says, "Whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into life, into everlasting life." You know, Paul would say in Ephesians 6:19, he said, "That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." All of a sudden, this is what's taking place in the day of Pentecost. This is what the church is to look like. This is the way we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be walking like in Romans 1:16, where Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek." Amen. You know, what God was saying to me is just as simple as this. In closing today, you know, when you're seeking and you're looking for a move of God, for God to move in a mighty way, he gave us the pattern in the day of Pentecost. The church was formed on this day. You know, as the church was formed, the church is to look like this. We have times that we gather together where we're imparted something. You're bringing in the house something today. I'm bringing something in the house today. And God takes what you brought and I brought, and he brings it together and mixes it together, and we can have a Holy Ghost good time in Jesus. Amen. See, and that day of Pentecost, there was something that really took place when the church was being formed. The Spirit of God's going to move in so many different ways. You know, sometimes he's going to come into the house with a mighty rushing wind. There's going to be, the wind's going to blow in and God's going to just shake the place. Other times he's going to come in like a gentle breeze. Sometimes he's going to come in with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes it'll be the fire of conviction to convict our hearts and lives, to bring us back to the Lord. You know, because the truth is, we live in the world. And the world's always tugging at us, and it's always pulling at us, and things of the world are always trying to drag us down. You know, sometimes he's going to come in like that dove, and we talked about that gentleness of God and the gentleness of the Spirit of God. He comes in with purity, and he comes in with love. And sometimes he's going to come in like that wine. We're going to get intoxicated. You're going to be under the influence. You're not allowed to drive under the influence of the Spirit either. Sometimes you may need you a chauffeur. If you get inebriated by God, sometimes he's going to come in like the gentle rain that's going to freshen you up. I don't know about you, but do you go through times when you get dry? You go through some wilderness, you go through some valleys in your life, you go through some dry periods that you want that rain, that early and that latter rain to fall. Sometimes he's going to come into place like a river. Amen. It can be ankle deep. It can be knee deep. It can be loin deep. It can be up over your head. You can go as deep as you want to go with the Lord. Deep call deep. Amen. Sometimes he's going to come in like that oil, and he's going to come in and he's going to anoint you. He's going to anoint you. He's going to heal you. He's going to heal your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit. Sometimes he's coming in with the oil of gladness for when your heart is heavy. You know, and then as he comes in like this, and the breath of heaven comes in and comes in a mighty way, we ought to be expecting God to do something we haven't seen before. If I've seen all that I need, I'm looking for something else. I'm expecting something else. I'm always expecting God to do everything he said in his word. And if he hadn't done what he said he was going to do, he's going to do it. I just want to be positioned and ready for it when it comes. I don't want to miss him. I don't want to miss him. But God says when this great revival comes and this great move of God comes, they were filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, they were filled with the divine fluence of God's love. Huh. Oh. Love is seeing your brother, your sister, where they're at, but praying and loving them to another level or to another place. It's not speaking into the place they are, but to the place God wants to take them to. Can we open our eyes and can we look through the eyes of God? Can we see through his eyes and not our own? I believe when they were filled with the divine influence of God, they weren't seeing through their natural eyes any longer. They were seeing through the Spirit of God. They were seeing people right where they were, but not desiring to leave them in that place because they had the answer. His name is Jesus. He is the answer to every situation and every circumstance, everything you're going through in your life. There is the answer. His name is Jesus. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the redeemer. He's the one that will lift you up and take you to a place you've never been before. He is the one that came in and comforted them in the midst of it. He says to you, why? Do you worry and fear for tomorrow? I hold tomorrow. Live today. Don't worry so much about what's going to take place tomorrow or next week or next year. Hallelujah. God's grace is sufficient for today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. In other words, when that gift of grace came in, the divine influence of God's love, and that gift of comfort that settled their hearts and their lives, all of a sudden the gift of utterance, their mouth opened up, and they couldn't but help to tell someone about the love of the Father. Amen. Bow your heads and let us pray.